Good morning. My name is Dharma Devi. I wanted to start by telling you about the first time that I was scheduled to give a public lecture. And that was in Los Angeles, and Swamiji was there. And he had just created and launched the Akash Lessons, which is Ancient Keys to Attaining Success and Happiness. And he put out a strong call to everyone there to get these lessons out. And I said, Swami, I would like to do that. And he said, but I don't know if that's going to work because you're shy. And I took that as a challenge because I think it was. And so I rented a big public venue, the Women's Club of Hollywood, that could seat up to 300 people. And I got like 1,000 posters printed. I hired a street team that goes out flyering, and they posted thousands of flyers all over LA. And I was ready. I was not at all ready, but Narayan was so gracious to come with me. I went really early to meditate, get set up. I was like, I'm getting on the stage. I'm not going to be down at ground level. I'm going up on the stage. I've got the mic, the PA system. I went all out. So the program was scheduled to start at 7. 6:30, we were practicing our song. Nobody came. I was like, okay, well, people in LA are late usually. It's okay. 7 o'clock rolls around. Nobody was there. So I said, well, there's a lot of traffic today. There's some parade happening. And 7:30 comes, and finally we see two people walking up. And it was the lead of the street team. She came to see how well the turnout would be. So, and she brought a friend. So we made a little circle, and we shared the teachings. And I went home, and I was thinking, God, what a flop. I mean, that was bad. But I felt so much bliss in my heart. I was blown away, and it lasted through the next morning. So that's why I'm here this morning, because I'm counting on that bliss being multiplied by all of you. So our topic, as Maria said, on cultivating a personal relationship with God. And I chose to talk about cultivating a relationship with God as the beloved. So I want to read to you one of my favorite passages from the Bhagavad Gita. Cling thou to me. Clasp me with heart and mind. So shalt thou dwell surely with me on high. But if thy thought droops from such height, if thou be'st weak to set body and soul upon me constantly, despair not. Give me lower service. Seek to reach me, worshiping with steadfast will. And if thou canst not worship steadfastly, work for me. Toil in works pleasing to me. For he that laboreth right for love of me shall finally attain. But if in this thy faint heart fails, bring me thy failure. And just before this passage, Arjuna is asking Krishna, who is the best versed in the science of yoga? And he says, this is Krishna, those who with minds fixed on me are ever united to me in pure devotion are in my eyes the best versed in yoga. So how can we create a relationship with God as the beloved? I wanted to offer three simple things that came to me as I was thinking of this. Ask, listen, and love. And all good things make good acronyms. So here's our acronym, ALL. So ask. Don't play games with God. God knows our hearts. God knows without us even asking. When I was living at the Village, there was a meeting with Swamiji that was about the Bodhi Tree bookstore. It was going to be sold, and it was a meeting to see if that was something that Ananda should look into purchasing. I had no idea why I was asked to be at that meeting, but I figured it was because Narayan was working at Crystal Clarity, and I had the good fortune of being married to Narayan. So there I was, and everyone was throwing out different ideas of why or why not we should purchase it. And it became clear we needed to do some more research. We needed to be there and to look into it more closely. And so Swamiji turns and looks right at Narayan and says, "The only person I can think to go is you." And then he looked next to Narayan where I was seated and said, "But you're doing something else, aren't you?" And we had just launched the virtual community that weekend. It was just July 4th weekend. And my mouth dropped open because this was a project we had been working on for quite a while. And my second response after my mouth dropping open was to look at Jyotishin Devi. And I must have looked just totally dumbfounded, but really it was one of the moments in my discipleship that I'm actually the most proud of, because I knew that I wanted to go. I knew that I had that desire to go out and share the teachings, and here we were being asked to go to L.A. But rather than do what I usually do, which is, yes, of course we'll go, it was, I looked at Jyotishin Devi because they had come to be my mentors, my spiritual parents. And it was the most beautiful thing when I looked at Devi and she was going, "Say yes, say yes." And I knew she meant say yes to Swami, make it snappy. And Jyotish said just very lovingly and impersonally, "No one is indispensable." That's a whole nother lesson unto itself. But, of course, we said yes, and we were in L.A. 2 months later, not to get the Bodhi Tree bookstore, but for a whole nother purpose. But so that brings me to the next one. Listen. Listening, we have to listen without an agenda, without hearing or listening for what we want to hear, but for what is actually the truth. Which takes me a little further back when I first moved to Ananda Village. And for those of you who don't know the process, you move into Chandi House, which is the group house here, and you stay there for a year. And it's really to feel if this is the right place for you. And like Maria was talking about the rebellious nature, that really started coming out in me. So about 4 months into my stay at Chandi, I was just at the breaking point. And I went for a walk with Narayan, I remember, and I was just letting him have it. I was venting, and it was bad venting. But what am I doing here? I'm regressing spiritually. This can't be right. And very dramatic. And I worked myself into a pretty good frenzy. I got back to my little beautiful room at Chandi, and I looked at this picture hanging over my bed of Master. And I said, "Master, if you don't make it really clear that I'm supposed to stay, I'm packing my bags, and I'm leaving. And just an instant later, I heard very clearly in my head, stay. And I knew it was Master, because my ego was screaming so loudly the exact opposite, go, get out of here, you can't stay. But there it was, stay. So I knew it was Master. And of course, listening isn't usually so dramatic. Usually we have to listen so carefully because Master talks to us in a whisper usually. But if we're sincere and we say, I won't do this unless you tell me to do this, then God responds no matter what. So finally, love. And I was wondering why there was not much coming to me when I was thinking about love. And then I heard Diksha's talk on Tuesday about devotion, and I said that was why. It was so perfect, just the natural unfolding. And it really comes by cultivating that relationship, asking, listening. How can we know God if we don't have this dialogue, this personal relationship with God? So ask, listen, but then in that process, learn to love God more deeply. And I was thinking how these three kind of form in a way. It's a little bit of a stretch, so bear with me. Master's divine equation. So 25%, we ask, we open ourselves, we make ourselves receptive. And 25% is, as Master said, the guru's effort on our behalf, which you could say is listening, because the guru can give us guidance, but if we don't listen, then it's not going to get us very far. And then loving is really like the grace, the 50% God's grace, that it just comes in, and we don't know where it came from, but we love. So I'm going to close. I was raised Catholic, so there's a little still lingering in there. This is a psalm. It's a rendition of a psalm. I believe it's Psalm 63. And it's sung pretty regularly at the Catholic Church. It was one of my favorites. And the words are, my soul thirsts for you, Lord, like a desert thirsts for rain. It is your face I long for. You alone are life to me. So I'll do my best. My soul thirsts for you, Lord, like a desert.